Hello, this sideshow comes with curses.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramisferum.
I am Ben Sinclair.
And I'm Katya Blickfeld.
And we created and write and direct the web series High Maintenance.
And we're married.
And we edit it.
You edit it.
You help me. And I'm in it.
Mm-hmm. I cast it.
And you cast it, and we produce it.
I hate saying that anything is the best anything, but High Maintenance is the best web series on the internet. I'd argue that it's better than about 90% of what's on TV. And there are a few reasons this show isn't on TV. For starters, it's about
smoking pot.
I'm talking about the weed.
The weed guy.
So I got Bubba Kush.
Okay.
I got Sour Diesel, and I got G13.
Oh, I gotta go order some weed.
420.
I'm smoking weed all day.
There have been a bunch of big TV shows about drugs recently, but High Maintenance is real. It's as much about pot as Cheers was a show about whiskey. This is a series of shorts about people, about love and loss and loneliness in a big city. If anything, it's the length of the episodes that keeps High Maintenance off TV. They're all between 5 and 20 minutes. But the show's creators, Katya, who was a casting director, and Ben, who has been acting for a while, still get plenty of offers.
We had a long experience trying to figure out how this would fit into the TV, cable TV world. And then at the end of that, we were like, you know what? If we don't have to, why would we? And luckily, Vimeo was waiting in the wings saying, you don't have to go to into a format that's going to have you ask you to change everything or make it quote unquote better.
That's kind of the best thing about this Vimeo deal was that it allowed us to keep doing things in a relatively similar fashion to what we'd been doing. It was just on a little bit bigger scale and people got paychecks.
So thanks to some money from Vimeo, the show has moved out of people's living and bedrooms and into restaurants, gyms, and classrooms. And they're a little more ambitious now, too. A new episode deals with social inequality, deficiencies in the education system, sexuality, 9-to-5 apathy, weird magician culture, and yes, marijuana. All within 16 minutes.
Hello?
I just felt weird about it. That's all.
Every episode of High Maintenance has one thing in common. A weed delivery by the guy, who's played by Ben Sinclair.
Yeah.
Hi. I called from the hotel. You said 45 minutes.
I'm on my way.
Like most things on the show, the character was based off stuff Katya and Ben were seeing all around them.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Come in.
Who delivers your marijuana, and do they want a cut of that sweet Vimeo money, or no?
No. I don't know. I mean, I can't say who delivers our marijuana, because it actually rotates quite a bit. We use a number of services.
You don't have a guy.
We did have a guy once.
Okay. We did have a guy. He
flaked on us.
He flaked on us once, and he wasn't the best, and we kind of wrote an episode about that feeling of, oh my God, I can't believe this guy bailed on us. So that's coming out in next cycle.
But you also wrote like a very dependable dealer as a result, or was that sort of afterwards?
We've been wanting our dealer to be like a humane, merciful guy the whole time. And he's always late. That's kind of a thing we have going, but better late than never, I guess.
Yeah. How much of the show is actually inspired by the people in your lives and the neighborhoods you frequent?
I mean, everything's inspired by our lives. I don't know how it could be another way.
And especially since we're chasing a naturalistic tone, it's more from feelings that people we know are feeling rather than the people themselves. If we're not feeling them, it's the feelings that we imagine that they might be feeling in their circumstances, or they might have talked to us about it.
Another strength of the show is that you guys are always so quick to the punch with your cultural references. A good example of that is Trixie, which is this episode about nightmarish Airbnb experiences. I'm going to play a clip from that.
Sure.
The Australians used all of my expensive argan oil as well.
You know the new guy, the short guy with the beard?
Yeah, what about him?
He leaves his poops in the toilet. It's like he doesn't know how to use the flusher.
Fucking sick. Well, why don't you talk to him about it? Hola. Hello. I said, could you please talk to him about it?
Oh, you're just better at it than me.
Are you kidding me, Poppy? I can't be the only one who's the bad guy all the time. I mean, we've got all these fucking bobos living up in our house. I can't be the one who's like, please don't smoke. Please don't eat all our food. Please put on some fucking pants.
No, I know.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, I need you to be my teammate here. We're trying to be adults. Isn't that what we said? We were going to be adults this year and live by ourselves. And I don't know how else we're going to pay the rent unless we do this.
I think it's because of our small size that we have been able to so easily slip in and out of, like, real places that have real dust on them and people really live there.
Yeah.
And the ability to have a tiny crew, like that episode that just played, I was shooting it.
That was the only bathroom.
It was just me, Ben, and Candace and John, and crammed up in a little Bushwick bathroom doing that.
It looks like a little Bushwick.
Squished in the corner underneath you, or standing on a crate or something.
Yeah. Coming at this was like being an actor and being a casting director. Like, what did you want to do differently? What did you want to see that you weren't seeing or doing?
I think I had just auditioned so many actors that I thought were hilarious, brilliant, you know, for whatever reason. Some of them are just straight out weird.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to create a bigger platform for those people, or a bigger spotlight. I feel like on 30 Rock, unfortunately, so many of the roles that I was casting people for were like one and two line parts, because a lot of the other ones went to famous people to play, you know, opposite Alec Baldwin, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think over time, I sort of wanted to see them do more. And also, I think, you know, I like indie actors with indie sensibilities, and they didn't always fit into the landscape of what was going on over there. So I sort of just wanted to create a calling card for myself.
So casting friends and people you know and acquaintances from being, like, in this world, does that get – I know it seems like it's great so many times. Is it ever, like, the opposite experience? Like, oh, I wish you could be a little more something about this, but I don't know how to tell you.
No, because we always – if we know the actor ahead of time, we're writing for them. And we always are wanting them to just bring their – you know, flavor to the set. We never ask anyone to do anything they don't know how to do. We don't ask people to reach super far on our show. So I don't know that you'll ever see somebody like disappear into a role on High Maintenance. It's usually going to be somebody, you know, peddling their wares, doing the thing that they do really well. And so when it's friends, even better.
A lot of the episodes deal with like 20 and 30 somethings, which makes the ones that don't all the more special. In an episode called Brad Pitt's, these two middle-aged women smoke weed for the first time. I'm going to play a clip of that.
Your business must be doing very well.
Yeah, it's like today's the Thanksgiving of smoking pot or something.
And this is the kind that makes you want to eat, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does that.
Is it very strong? I don't smoke. How much do you have to do to make something happen?
Oh, Ellen, you're going to have such a good time. I remember, gosh, this was years ago, Jerry and I got free tickets to a Steely Dan concert. Jerry got high, of course I didn't, but I must have gotten a contact high, because when we got home, I ate two boxes of French bread pizza.
In that case, like with that episode, I feel like more so than any other mainstream piece of pop culture about drug use, you're like sort of advancing this conversation that's happening in this country right now. Do you guys ever figure out how you work into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we can just focus on the characters, we're good.
Truth be told, the weed delivery story point usually is the last thing to get figured out. It's like, lower on the list than the other things.
Emotion, relatability.
What characters do we want to spend time with? What feeling do we want to be left with at the end of the episode?
Huh. What haven't we seen before that happens in real life that we would like to be able to portray?
But by portraying all the stuff in such real life circumstances, you like might inadvertently become the face of the legalization movement. Have you considered that?
I first smoked pot when I was pretty young. I was 12 years old. It was awesome. I didn't really become a heavy pot smoker until I was 21. I have always been waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, when is this going to give me a good reason to say, like, you shouldn't be smoking pot anymore? And it hasn't presented itself. Like, anything that really bad has happened to you and I, we weren't stoned during, you know, like any mishap, any like really tragic event, we were not stoned. And I don't know. I realize that there is such a thing as too much of everything, but this is not a bad thing. And I would be happy to say that, but I don't want to make that the only thing that I am identified with for sure.
Not only that, but lately we've actually tried to take an active stance against smoking.
Smoking, yeah. Smoking's not good for you.
Smoking pot. Like
talking edibles here or what?
Yeah.
Yeah. or whatever they're, you know, they're doing tinctures, you know. Sure. There's, sure. But smoking.
Vaporizing.
Yeah, but burning and inhaling plant matter of any kind is not good
for
you.
Doesn't seem like a good idea.
Sure.
Yeah.
You guys started this to, like, showcase the talents of your friends and even yourselves, maybe especially yourselves. And it seems to be really working out pretty
Thanks.
Well. Like, your face is on a bunch of buses and,
That's
like,
crazy.
A wall in my neighborhood.
Oh, my God, man.
We saw the wall yesterday. We had a very, like, secret – we secretly took a photo. We were kind of embarrassed.
What,
he jumped out of the car.
Yeah, we took one of those car to-go's, those smart cars, and really just, like – like, get out. Take the picture. We got to go.
Is it weird?
I like it.
Is it great? How does it feel?
It feels good. It feels, I'm glad that the thing that I went to undergraduate for, is starting to pay off. You know, the most wonderful thing is that I get to do this with Katya. It's our kid, and it's, we don't have kids, but I imagine the pride that we feel in this project is tantamount to the pride that one feels for their children. And I don't know, a lot of people whose babies are painted on a 24-foot wall.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow, and thanks to Kathy Merritt at PRI, Lital Malad over here, and Amira Nader at Listener Services, who helped with pretty much every part of the process in this one. Also, thanks to Zoe Ajoulay for the help and Nick Fountain at NPR for all that Brosé Cuervo. You can find links to all that high maintenance at PRI.org/soundworks.
Sideshow is supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation. Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
The ruse there was that they were actually trying to get, like, your level. And they said to ask you what you had for breakfast, but I don't like asking that question because mm-hmm. that's what they always ask.
I had pot
you know?
For breakfast.